Messiah came to lead us home. What a great reminder. Let's stand together as the Lord's word calls us into his presence to worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's stand. Hear the word of the Lord call you into his presence. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. Let's pray. Father God, as we come into your presence, praising your name, lifting your name on high, honoring you above all things, Lord, we pray that our worship would be acceptable this second week of Advent as we celebrate the arrival of this Messiah so long ago, a promise that you fulfilled in your timing and for our blessing. And so we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your hymnal now and turn. Oh, actually, take your bulletin and there on the back side of the one insert, you'll see the hymn, "We Wait Amidst the Darkness." Maybe some of you remember that these are words. The lyrics were written by Greg Kenny, and it goes to the tune of "Lead On, O King Eternal," which I think you'll recognize once Ruby starts. And so we'll sing this together. May be seated. Grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. It's page 683 if you're grabbing your pew Bible. Isaiah chapter 11, and I'm going to ask Alan to come and read. You know, this is the spot in the Scriptures where we talk about the righteous reign of the branch of God. Again, the promise of the Messiah to come, a promise that we've seen fulfilled by our God, who is always faithful to fulfill His promises. So, Alan.
There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Are you able to see the supernatural things that are taking place here? Right? All of these things are supernatural. They're not things that we would find in nature. It's the Lord at work bringing about his reign of peace on the earth, peace that will be fantastic, unbelievable, and yet recognizable as peace. And in the end, we will see an earth where the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Won't that be a great place to live, where there will be a supernatural peace that covers all that we know? Well, the Lord that's going to do that is the Lord that we go to prayer with. We go to a God who is more powerful than we know and more willing to act than we believe. So let's go to Him in faith with our request that He would bring peace on earth. Let's pray. Father God, we do come into Your presence mindful that You are more marvelous and powerful and gracious and just than we know. And so, Lord, as we light this candle of peace, we come before You and we ask that You would bring peace on earth, showering the earth with goodwill towards men. Lord, we know that we need peace in Israel and in Gaza and in Ukraine. We know that there's a need for peace in other parts of the country. Think of North and South Korea that still, Lord, don't have peace. Lord, we know that we need peace in our families. And so, Lord, we lift up our families to You, and we pray that there would be a supernatural peace this Christmas that would come as people are reminded of the birth of Jesus. Lord, we need peace in our nation. Lord, as Harry mentioned this morning in his prayer, the streets are full of strife and murder and anger and just malice towards one another. Lord, our nation needs peace. Our cities need peace. The country, people need peace. Lord, our community here in Highview needs peace. And so we would ask that You would bring it this Christmas season through the story of the birth of your son, born humbly and laid in a manger. Lord, we pray that people would see that and be reminded of the goodwill that you have given to men, and that they would be driven towards peace. Lord, we need peace not just with one another, but with ourselves. And so, Lord, we pray that you would show us what it means that you've made peace with us, that you have reconciled us to yourself this Christmas. We pray as we light this Advent candle, Lord, that we would be reminded of what it means that we are at peace with you, and that you are at peace with us, and that it would change us, Lord, into a people who are content, who are satisfied, who are joyful, who are willing to celebrate the arrival of the King. And Lord, we pray that all of this would be done for your glory, and that it would be a great witness to the world, shining the light of the gospel into the darkness of sin that still invades and still pervades around us so mightily. Lord, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the gospel, and so we pray that the candle of peace would shine out like a light, and the darkness would never overcome it, and that you would be glorified, and many would be brought to faith. And now, Lord, as we close our time together reciting the Lord's Prayer, we do pray that you would remind us of your faithfulness in this prayer that you taught your disciples so long ago and that the church still uses mightily today, Lord, to be reminded of just how good you are and how we should respond to you. And so we pray, Lord, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, take your hymnal and we'll respond to our prayer, singing number 36, O Come All Ye Faithful. You can remain in your seats. Number 36. So just a few more weeks left before Christmas. I hope you are prepared to come and to adore your Savior. Well, again, we have an opportunity to bring in a tithe into the Lord. It's interesting, if you took a survey of people in the country, and maybe specifically church-going people in the country, maybe even a majority, might think that giving to any charity is considered a tithe. But that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." This is the storehouse where the Lord calls us to bring in our tithe, to test Him, to see if He will not, as we give to Him, give us more abundantly than we could ever give to Him. We've seen that taking place in our church as the Lord continues to just bless us financially and with time and with talents. And so I encourage you to come with joyful hearts this morning, bringing your tithe into the storehouse, knowing that the Lord will bless us abundantly. Let's sing the doxology together. Let's stand. Lord, we bring this offering into your storehouse on your command, and we give it to you, Lord. And we ask you to just graciously bless us and use this, your funds, Lord, to spread forth your gospel. Continue to pour out the storehouses of heaven as you've promised. And Lord, may we be good stewards. So teach us, Lord, what it means to use your money for your purpose. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. mentioned this before. That is the agreement that was signed to end hostilities during the Korean War. It wasn't a peace treaty, right? It was an armistice. An armistice between the armies of North Korea, China, the U.S., and the United Nations. It was signed July 27th of 1953. That was 70 years ago. Notice that Korea, South Korea, that is, never actually signed it. Still, it did formally end all the hostilities between those military forces involved in the Korean War. And they signed this armistice expecting that they would form or forge some sort of final peace treaty, which never happened. 70 years it's been, they've never actually come up with a peace treaty. Now, there hasn't been any open hostilities between those two countries, really. I mean, nothing major, right? They've just been irritating one another. But it hasn't been peace either, right? They haven't had peace either. What a terrible position to live in. To live in a place where there's really not peace, just the absence of open conflict. Aren't you glad that Christmas isn't an armistice? Right? Aren't you glad that Christmas isn't just the end of hostilities without peace? No, it's actually peace, real peace, lasting peace. And lasting peace, not just with one another, but lasting peace with God. That's what we're going to see this morning here in a minute in Romans chapter 5. So why don't you go ahead and turn there in your pew Bible. It's page 1119, Romans 5. We're going to begin in verse 1. If you're in your own Bible, just go past the Gospels, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So if you get to Corinthians or Galatians, go back to the left. We're going to be in Romans chapter 5. Now, I know this might not be the text that you're expecting at Christmas. Why are we in Romans 5 at Christmas time? And you know, we all know that the story of the birth of Jesus is captivating, isn't it? But the story of the birth of Jesus is about more than just his birth. Right? It's about why the Messiah came. It's about what he would accomplish and how it affects us, how it affects you, how it affects everyone when they find him. Now, to set the context for our passage, I want you to know in Romans 3, Paul says, no one is righteous. No, not one. That's what he says. No one is righteous. No, not one. In Romans 4, then, he says that Abraham was saved through faith, not by works, because no one is righteous. No, not one can work himself into heaven. No, Abraham was saved by faith. And in fact, everyone that comes to the Messiah is saved by faith. And then we're going to see here in just a second in chapter 5 some of the results of that saving faith, the biggest one being peace with God. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask that you would open the scriptures to us and to show us exactly what Jesus did when he came. Show us why he came. And that was, Lord, to bring peace between you and us. And we pray that that would affect us this Christmas in a way that makes us rejoice in Jesus and in his birth. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. Well, let me read Romans 5, 1 through 11, where Paul again is saying, no one is righteous, no, not one. Right? Everyone that comes to the saving faith is saved. And he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, there's the whole sermon right there. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But he goes on to kind of unpack that for us. He says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Here's the big idea. It's right there in that first verse. Our relationship before the Messiah came, our relationship with God was broken. Right? And at Christmas, it's broken before the arrival of Messiah. So we see then that the Messiah is here to restore our relationship. And so at Christmas, that's what we really need to do. We need to be telling people Jesus came to give us peace with God. Now, I chose those words specifically because I really want to say Jesus came to bring us peace with God. But I want you to understand, Jesus came to give you something, right? He just didn't bring it, right? He's very specifically bringing it to give it to you. He came to give us peace with God. Now, let's be clear up front. This peace with God that Paul is talking about, it describes your relationship with God after you come to know the Messiah. That's the only people that can have true peace with God, the ones that know the Messiah. And what Paul is saying, that once you know the Messiah, you are no longer threatened by the wrath of God. Let that sink in just for a second. Christmas time is really a message that Jesus came so that you would no longer be threatened by the wrath of God. Do you ever think of it in those terms? I know many people don't. They don't want to think they were ever subject to God's wrath. They don't want to think that Christ came to end hostilities between God and man. But that's exactly why Jesus came. There was hostility between God and man. God's wrath was on mankind for sin. Christ came to fix that problem, to bring peace between God and mankind. Mankind who had spurned God's love from the very beginning. Mankind who had turned their back on him. Mankind who's been living in rebellion ever since the fall. That's who Jesus came to save. Remember, Paul says in Romans 3, no one is righteous, no, not one. When you hear these words, right? No one's righteous, no, not one. Do you believe Paul? Is Paul right everywhere else but there? Now he's wrong? Do you believe that no one righteous includes you? I pray that you do. And let me say why. Because if you don't, then the fact that Jesus came to bring peace on earth, goodwill to men, to satisfy God's wrath for you is not really good news if you don't need a Savior. If you're not part of the no one righteous, no not one, then you don't really need a Savior. Christmas is not that great of news for you then, is it? But listen, when you know your only hope, right, is that someone more righteous than you, someone holy and perfect would come and pay your penalty, then Christmas becomes not just good news, but the greatest news, doesn't it? When you hear that Jesus came to save you, doesn't it make you want to then celebrate this great news, knowing that you're no longer subject to the wrath of God? Jesus came to give you peace. But listen, that peace didn't come by itself. Did you hear all the other things that Paul says is in there? I mean, one is access. That with this peace, with this cessation of hostilities, with this wrath of God being dealt with, you now have access to the throne of grace. That Greek word there is really two words put together, one meaning to go, and the other is towards or facing. It's this idea to have freedom to enter through the assistance or favor of another. Right? That's the kind of access that we have through the Messiah who came as a baby. And we have access now, someone leading us into the very presence of God where we now have peace with him. Now, imagine you've been invited to like a Nationals game. You know, your friend, you know, he invites you to a Nationals game. It's like 3 weeks out. It's springtime. You're like, oh, it'll be so much fun. But the day of the game, you get there and it starts to rain. And you start to feel a little down, like, oh, I really don't want to sit out in the rain and watch this game. I mean, it's not raining hard enough to cancel the game, but it's just going to be not fun, right? But then your friend says, oh, hey, that's okay. We'll just go into the inside, one of those inside, what do they call them? Inside booths or something? Yeah, inside boxes or whatever. Hey, let's just go in there. I've got access. My company's got, you know, got season tickets or whatever. Now, wouldn't that be great? Now you get to go sit inside. You don't have to be rained on. Still get to watch the game. Great seats. There's probably food in there. I don't know. I've never been in one. Now, would you get excited to have limited access to that sporting event? Or would you be excited if you went to some concert and somebody said, hey, why don't you take my box? Or would you be really excited if you're on a plane and the stewardess came over and said, hey, we've got a free seat in first class left. You want an upgrade? Wouldn't you be excited? Wouldn't you be excited if you could fly in first class? Are you just excited about what it means to have access to grace? Are you just excited about having access to grace and peace with God? And are you rejoicing over that this Christmas season? Are you ready to rejoice over that this Christmas season? You really do have reasons to rejoice. Peace with God and access to grace. And listen, you have those things, even if things aren't going exactly as you might wanted them to go this year. Right, think about this. In Paul's life, things didn't always go exactly the way he would have wanted them to go or thought they should go. And yet, peace with God, access to grace, leads him to have hope, even in his suffering. And he tells us we can have that too. Because when we suffer as Christians, we will endure. We will grow in that suffering, and that growth will produce a sure hope in us, just like it did for Paul. Now, we celebrated hope, the hope of the Messiah last week, right? Hopefully, you remember that we didn't just talk about the hope of his first coming, but we also talked about the hope of his second coming. And that's what Paul points to here. God's grace does not put us to shame, but works to instill hope in us. Isn't it interesting that when they were hoping for the Messiah, they had nothing to look back on except for God's promises. Now we not only have God's promises to look back on, but we can see the fulfillment of that first coming, so we can have a sure hope that the second coming will take place as well. Now, what's interesting here, I think, for Paul is that God's grace, when he says doesn't put us to shame, is it's not about the facts of Christmas. Right? It's not about knowing all the facts of Christmas, the announcement of the angels to the shepherds, the birth of Jesus, the placing of the baby in the manger. I mean, those are, well, by the way, we're going to be talking about that next week. But, you know, those are all great facts. But that's not why we celebrate Christmas, right? We celebrate Christmas because we celebrate that relationship we have with the baby that came. It's not about the Messiah coming. It's about having a relationship with the Messiah himself. Not just knowing the story, but knowing the person the story is about. That's what we should be celebrating at Christmas. Now, imagine, you know, with your smartphone, your tablet, anybody can say, hey, Siri. I'm going to make sure my phone's off. I don't want to click it on. Okay, hey, Siri, how long's the bridge over the New River Gorge? And Siri would come back and say, I thought I wrote that down. Wait, I got it right here. Okay, let me see. It's just so you know, the New River Gorge Bridge is only the third highest over the water. It is 267 meters above the water. See, I should have switched it into feet. 267 meters. The highest one's in Colorado. That one's 291 meters and has like 1,700 planks of wood across it. It's only one lane. Anyhow. All right, but listen. So you say, how long is it? Oh, it's it took 3 years. How long is the bridge over the River Gorge? How high above the water? And they'll get an instant response. Listen, if you were sitting next to someone who spent 3 years, that's how long it took to build the New River Gorge Bridge, 3 years. If you were sitting next to someone maybe in their 80s now that built the New River Gorge Bridge in their 30s, you might get all that information and a whole bunch of stories too about the experience, because they don't just know facts about the bridge, right? They know about the bridge. They know what it took to make that bridge span that river. They knew all that. They knew that in a different way. That's what it means to know Christ in this Advent season. We don't want to just know facts about Jesus, right? We want to know Jesus. We want to have an intimate relationship with Him, one that's changing our lives, right? Making us different. And let's be honest with ourselves. We all need to be changed in some way, right? We all need to be changed in some way. We all need to grow. We all need to become less self-obsessed, right? More compassionate, more content, more hopeful about the future. We need to be changed. Come this Christmas season. Come to know Christ in a deeper way and let Him change you. Why is this text important at Christmas? Well, Paul's told us that to have peace with God through Christ, we just need to come to Him, and that peace came as God sent His light, the light of the Messiah, to earth as a baby. Now, in order to understand how Paul can say this about Jesus, we need to understand Christmas. And in order to understand Christmas, I want us to think about what Matthew says about the beginning of Christ's ministry, where he brings in this Isaiah passage, Isaiah 9, where it says, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." You know, in the darkness of a world that had turned its back on God, God gave us Christmas. God gave us the best gift we could ever actually hope for. It was His Son sent to bring peace between us and God, to satisfy His wrath and give us access to grace. And that's why Paul can say, it's so great, He did it while we were sinners, while we were living in darkness, enemies of the God of glory. Oh, I'm kind of glad there's no kids here this morning. I'm going to tell you about a song. Everybody knows this song. It's called the Santa Claus song, I think. I don't know. You know the words, right? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not shout. I'm telling you why. Why? Santa Claus is coming to town, right? What does that song actually say? It says He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Because He's making a list, He's checking it twice, He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. You know the rest, right? Santa Claus is coming to town. Of course, all that is meant to say Santa will only come and bring good things to those that are good. Right? Those that are good, they're the only ones that Santa brings presents to, the rest get coal. That's not Christmas. I'm just saying, that's not Christmas. When we think of Christmas from Romans 5, right? The true Christmas gift is that God sent His Son, not to the good, but to sinners, right? Who have been saved by faith while you were God's enemies. It wasn't your goodness that made things right. It was the arrival of the Messiah that brought peace. Right? It was the arrival of the Messiah that dealt with the hostility between you and the Lord. The hostility is now done away with. You have peace and access and hope. So many reasons to celebrate at Advent. God sent you Christmas while you were living in darkness. Right? While you were an enemy of God. Christmas is better than the Santa song. Right? Way better than the Santa song. And hopefully that will help you grow in your knowledge of the Messiah and what He did for you this Advent season. There's nothing that could ever be better than the gift of Jesus. Not a single present under the tree this year is going to be better than the gift of Jesus. Not even if you get a gift that won't fit under the tree and has to be parked in the driveway. Right? I mean, the commercials on TV would have you believe that that's the best present ever. It's not. Not even if it has a bow on it. Not even if it's a pickup truck. I'm just saying. Hint, hint. No, just kidding. Do you want to know the real joy of Christmas? Then understand what Paul is saying here in Romans 5. If God is willing to save you, to send you Jesus while you're a sinner, how much more will He do for you now that you're a child of the King? How much more will he save you through his life? Paul says that Jesus was willing to die for you to save you. How much more will he do for you through his life? Now, you know, as we grow in Christ, we would begin to think, I'm going to become more and more holy. And that is the object of faith, right? To become more like Jesus. The truth is, though, you can become more like Jesus and still have your view of your sin expanded in such a way that you still feel like a terrible sinner. You ever feel the weight of your own sin? Let this sink in then. Since God sent you Jesus while you were a sinner, right? Then how much more will Jesus do for you now that you're a believer and living in his power with his Spirit in you? The message of Christmas is that Christ has reconciled you to God. Again, Matthew in chapter 4 talks about this idea, right, that this light has dawned to those living in darkness. Paul's saying, yes, you were a sinner under the wrath of God, and Christ is saving you for that. But you know, right after Matthew talks about this in chapter 4, he says, as Jesus begins this ministry of his, he says, repent. This is what Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That kingdom is here now. Right? The kingdom that came when Jesus was born as a baby is here now, and we should be living as a people at peace with God. After all, God is at peace with you if you know Jesus. God is at peace with you. No more anger. No more judgment. No more wrath. No more punishment. You don't need to walk any longer on eggshells, waiting for the hammer to fall when you step on an egg. One of God's eggs begins to crack. No, God's peace is not an armistice. It's a lasting, real peace treaty that will never be broken, even when you break it. God will never break it, even when you do. You are reconciled with him because he is reconciled with you. Now that means a couple of things. It also means we're reconciled with each other. At least we should be reconciled with each other. At Christmas, we can rest in the knowledge that reconciliation with God brings reconciliation with one another. Are you at odds with someone this Christmas? Need to apologize to someone? Make amends with them? Maybe you should do that by sharing the message of Christmas with them. Right? Say, you know, God came to bring peace with me. I want to be at peace with you. You might be surprised how far the Christmas message might go in your relationships this Advent season. Be at peace with God. Be at peace with those around you. Be at peace with yourself. Now, this really might be the hardest one, right? To be at peace with yourself, because no one knows you as well as yourself. Well, there is one person. God knows you probably better than yourself. Right? Christmas is a reminder that you can be reconciled with yourself, reconciled with who you really are in Christ. Now, I'm not saying you can continue to live in sin and just accept the bad with the good. No, what I'm saying is that you can accept the fact that God has forgiven your sins. You can repent and move on from those ones you committed when you were 10, the ones you committed when you were 60, the ones you committed this morning on the way to church. Right? When Paul says you have peace with God, it's not an armistice. It's a true peace treaty, a lasting one. Christmas really is that wonderful. The Advent season really is that wonderful. Do you believe that this morning? I pray that you do. Now, there is one bad piece of news in Christmas. Hopefully you'll understand this. And won't be too bad, but it is bad news. You can be at peace with God, you can be at peace with one another, you can be at peace with yourself, but you can never be reconciled and at peace with the world, right? You can never be at peace and reconciled with the world. The world can never know the joy of Christmas that a believer knows. The world will never know that joy because the world will never be at peace with God. Only when someone comes to know Christ as Savior will they know the joy of Christmas. All right, that's the bad news. So let's end at least on some good news. We know that there are people out there not at peace with God. We know there are, but they can be. They can be if they would come to Jesus. So this Christmas, make sure you tell them about the peace that you have with Jesus. Let them know why God came. He came to shine a light into the darkness, to save sinners, to bring them peace and access and hope. Let's go this Christmas and make that message known. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do just ask that you would help us to share in a powerful way your message of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Lord, we pray that that would be powerful, especially in our community, that those living in darkness would see the light of Jesus and long to come as the wise men did and worship. And we ask that this would be made true through the power of your Spirit at work in us and in the world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your hymnal. Let's stand together as we sing another Christmas hymn, number 28, As With Gladness, Men of Old. Number 28. Let's stand together. A baby wrapped in a manger, his glory hidden by his humanity, will one day be revealed in its brilliance. Praise the Lord. Hear the Lord's benediction now. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain, as he spreads his peace to others through his peace with you. Amen. Thank you.